Good morning.
Morning.
Dearly love our brother and enjoyed his preaching. Wish he was not so worried about the clock. Of course, my eyes are so bad I can't read it, so y'all may be in trouble.
Don't worry about it.
I know people always say that. One of my strongest memories as a young man is in church, our pastor, because he would preach very vigorously, and as he was approaching the end, he would take kind of a long wind down, and you knew he was about to finish, and then now he'd start back up again. And then, so as a child, you never knew when he's going to quit or not. We certainly appreciate the gift of Brother Joe. I just wish he would get excited a little bit when he preaches. I dearly love seeing a man that's not afraid to express emotion when he's in the stand. When you understand that, if the Spirit's with you in a special way, then let that be manifest in your mannerisms. We've enjoyed the meeting thus far. Beautiful singing. I know those dear brethren had to leave to go out and make the arrangements. Had two bad things to do. They had to make the arrangements, then they had to leave the singing as well. But we wish we could have been with you yesterday. We had a very rich experience of grace on the ride over this morning. We understand that we are no longer subject to the laws of Moses. We are still subject to the laws of the state of Tennessee. The highway patrolman noticed the Bible in my occasion, and we had a quick conversation. He asked me why I happened to be going a little fast. I said, I'd like those two brothers that had been on the road to Emmaus when Christ revealed himself. They ran back to their brethren. They wanted to tell them all about the good news, and he was blessed to just give me a little warning and tell me to slow down. So we're thankful for things this morning. We want to, if we understand our mind this morning, I'd like to begin with a verse that's in the book of Hebrews in the 8th chapter, speaking about our Savior Jesus. In verse 6 it says, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises."
Amen.
You know, today we gather to enjoy the blessings, the assurances of a better covenant that was established on better promises. You know, Paul writes a good bit about covenants here in the book of Hebrews. We find it all through God's Word. Covenant being an agreement between two or more parties, agreement that's entered into willingly, an agreement that typically will have promises and obligations and things that are part of that agreement. He's talking about a better covenant. So there was a first and there was a second. Before there were these two covenants that are described here that he's referring to in the book of Hebrews, there was yet a covenant that preceded those.
Right.
And it was more sure and more certain from the parties involved in that one. There was an eternal covenant.
Amen.
And I'd have us to understand this morning, and I think you'll be spared. I'll say this will probably get the poor flock at Tuscaloosa will have to endure this, but we as children of God, as disciples, when you take up your cross and follow the Lord, you enter into a covenant with God.
That's right.
There are covenants that God entered into with Himself. There's covenants that God entered into with His people. And there's covenants that we His people enter into with God. When you take up your cross and follow the Lord and become a disciple and join up a church, then you're making a covenant with the Lord. And I'm concerned that a lot of God's children that come forth and take up their cross don't really understand what they're getting into.
Right.
What obligations they're making to the Lord. But we understand that that very first covenant came first, and then there was two others, and then there's this covenant we enter into with the Lord. So let's begin at the beginning real quickly. This should be something that I'm not bringing anything new to you this morning. But I can tell you, brothers and sisters, that this eternal covenant of God's grace that was a covenant that was entered into by the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And in case you're wondering this morning, you were the object of that covenant.
Right.
You weren't a participant in that covenant. You did not have a voice in that covenant. You were not present except in the mind and the purpose and the love and the bestowing of God's grace upon you in that covenant. And that was a covenant made by a perfect being, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And in that, God chose a people. He foreknew you, and He predestinated you to be conformed to the image of His Son, that Christ might be the firstborn among many brethren. God made a choice of a people. He chose you to be the objects of His love and His grace. And, you know, in any covenant there, they're witnesses.
That's right.
You know, the Bible says, let everything be done in the sight of two or three witnesses. And I can tell you, but God the Father chose the people, the Son and the Holy Spirit were witnesses to that oath.
Amen.
That immutable oath of God as He entered into that covenant with Himself. And Christ said, I'll take them and I'll suffer for them on the cross. I'll justify them with my blood. I'll wash them whiter than snow. I'll leave this perfect world of heaven to go down there and suffer what is required for their sins. And the Father and the Spirit were witnesses of that, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
You know, a perfect agreement between those parties. When that Holy Spirit said, I will quicken them from a dead state in sin to a life in Christ Jesus, and I'll take up a dwelling place in their hearts. I'll make them that new creature that Brother Joe talked about. Then the Father and the Son were witnesses that these perfect works of God and His sovereign grace and His purpose in choosing and saving a people in that eternal covenant. You know, brothers and sisters, because of that, because that's why that Jesus, when that angel spoke to Joseph, he said, you'll call His name Jesus. Why? Because He shall save His people from their sins. That's because of that eternal covenant, without doubt. You know, brothers and sisters, men make you promises. I've made a lot of promises in my life.
That's right.
I've kept a few. And I've left quite a few unkept. But brothers and sisters, we know that because of that covenant, that eternal covenant between God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, He said there are three that bear record in heaven. You know, there's three that bear record in heaven, and those three are one, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And there's a record there, brothers and sisters, that covenant that they made and before the foundation of the world when they chose you and Christ agreed to come and pay the price for your sins. And the Holy Spirit said, I'll quicken them from death to life, and I will dwell in them, and I'll illuminate their lives with the Holy Ghost and my power. Christ said, I'm going to come back one day for them too.
That's right.
And God said, I'll glorify them. You know, we have these things we can rest in. So we understand that. I just want you to know that it all began with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that one that is the author is also the finisher. You know, He's one that didn't. You know, a lot of people out there predict things. They think they can see the end from the beginning. We're talking about one that didn't just see it, brother. He declared it from the beginning. And that's a glorious thing. See, that doesn't leave anything to doubt. So we can gather this morning with that solid foundation, brothers and sisters, to know that because of that covenant of the Father, that agreement that He made with Himself, that you and I were not a party to in terms of making any kind of obligation to God. We were just the blessed recipients of His grace and His mercy. That's why we're saying Amazing Grace, isn't it?
Amen.
Because we understand this thing. Praise be to God. You know, Paul's talking about some covenants that God made with His people here in Hebrews. And there was one, and there was the second. And the second was better than the first. Now, we need to understand, brothers and sisters, there weren't any flaws in the first. Now, I notice that had the first been faultless. Again, the first, that covenant that God made under the law, was perfect for what God intended it to do. The problem is us getting confused about what the law was intended to do.
Right. Amen.
Let's just go back to... Let's go to Genesis chapter 17. You know, the Lord made a covenant with His servant Abraham. He says, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God covenanted with Abraham. Well, he'd be the father of many nations. He'd have a great multitude. But I think the principal part of that covenant was that I'm going to provide a dwelling place for my people.
That's right.
In time. Mm-hmm. You know, that first covenant was made with a natural nation. And it involved a natural land. Mm-hmm. And the sign of one that was a party, a member of that covenant, was outward circumcision. Circumcision of the flesh.
Right.
You know, God delivered that covenant through Moses to the children on Mount Sinai. You know, and that covenant that God made was both the land wherein he would dwell, and he said, and I will be a God to them, and they'll be a people to me. And, you know, there were things in that covenant, in that old law of worship, that's pointed Israel. You know, see, that covenant had a promise.
Yeah.
It was a promise that the Messiah would come.
Right.
And in those ordinances there, brothers and sisters, that were by men, earthly men that were priests, that offered up sacrifices on behalf of the people. And on one time a year, they would go in with the shedding of blood of bulls and goats and make an offering that pointed to one. It wasn't that one that was to come. See, that's part of that better covenant. That had better promise. See, that better covenant, it was a spiritual, was not just with natural Israel, but was
right.
With spiritual Israel.
Right.
It wasn't concerning the natural land. Now, you might have been over to what they call the Holy Land over in Israel, and I would enjoy going. I've never been there.
Right.
That'd be an interesting historical trip.
Right.
Now, I'll be honest with you, I'd love to go to the Jordan River and look there, some of those places, but I want you to understand, that ain't the Holy Land.
Amen.
I'm telling you, see, today, brothers and sisters, we're not talking about natural Israel. We're talking about spiritual Israel. We're not talking about that old natural land of Canaan. We're talking about this kingdom here that God rules and reigns. And we are blessed to come in to this better covenant that's on better promises. Because, see, it's not based on the promise that the Messiah will come. It's based on the understanding that he's already come,
Amen.
That he's finished the work. Amen. And we have a promise, not a Messiah to come. We have a promise of eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord in that finished work. You know, brothers and sisters, see, he didn't come year after year after year like they did under that old covenant. You know, that old covenant, it just brought sin to mind. It convicted, it condemned Israel, condemned God's people to be sinners, as sinners. It showed us what we are. It was a mirror, brothers and sisters, up in the face of God's children to see what we are by nature. And oh, isn't it precious to see this better promise, this new covenant.
Amen.
What it holds up to us. Now, we're still sinners, brothers and sisters. But you don't ever need to forget that. But I need you to understand that the penalty of sin has been paid for on the Calvary's cross. The price being the very Son of God who went there that one time, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own body. He obtained eternal redemption for you and I.
Amen.
What a glorious thing that it is. You know that old covenant. You know they had tablets and 10 commandments. Those tablets of stone. Brothers and sisters, he teaches us now that he doesn't write these commandments on tablets of stone, but in our hearts and places them in our mind. He said, I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Now, not teach every man to know me, for they will all know me from the least to the greatest.
Right.
Oh, and there's mercy there. You know, there wasn't any mercy in that old covenant, was there?
Right.
Now, God was merciful, but there wasn't any mercy in the law.
Amen.
That's the difference there.
That's right.
Understand, see, the law didn't trump the Lord.
Yeah.
When the Lord wanted to be merciful, the Lord was merciful.
Well,
you didn't find it in the law. No, there wasn't any mercy on Mount Sinai. That was a fearsome place.
Right.
You know, but see, there was a glorious thing still in that old covenant. It was good. It pointed to Christ. Oh, there were beautiful things that showed God's people, and God blessed them, you know. And there was a land, as he promised there to Abraham. And I hope you can see that because we know you can read over in Galatians, 34th chapter, where he talks about, you know, talks about Abraham and his seed. In that lineage of Abraham, we see not only those that were under the law, but pointing to those that would be under grace, under our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When He says there, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and the seeds as of many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. We understand, brothers and sisters, that we are the promised ones under Isaac, pointing to this better covenant that yet would come. But it was a glorious land. You know, the land of Canaan. This land that God gave for His people as a dwelling place in time. You know, and that covenant was between God in Israel. And you didn't need to worry about God holding up His end, did you?
Amen.
But the problem was with Israel. And we understand, brothers and sisters, that both in that old covenant and the new covenant, if we're going to dwell in these places that God's established, you're going to do it by faith. Coming from old Abraham, that faithful Abraham, that great witness to you and I, of the blessings of God that His people enjoy when they walk faithfully according to what God tells them.
Amen.
You know, I love in Deuteronomy as Moses address those children of Israel. They've been wandering there in punishment. Why?
Right.
Because of unbelief. Because they weren't faithful.
Right.
They didn't go into the land because they had a committee. You know, the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a committee together, and you know, they went in and they spied it out. Now, if you're not careful, you might read your Bible and think that the Lord told them to do that. The Lord didn't tell them to do that. The Lord suffered them to do that, knowing full well what they were going to come back and say. And 10 out of 12 came back and said, it is just what the Lord said. It's a beautiful land. It's full of milk and honey. It's has everything that we need there, but there are giants there, and you know, the Lord's not going to be able to deliver us into that land. But we see, they've been in the wilderness for, I'm going to move on from there, in the wilderness for 40 years. And as they're coming out in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it's just one of the most beautiful sections of Scripture to me. To read as Moses is teaching them, now, you're going to be delivered back into this land, and here's some things you need to know. He describes this land. Verse 10, it says, and it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which you didn't build, which thou buildest not. Houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not. And wells digged, which thou diggest not. Where does every good and every perfect gift come from?
Amen.
Back then, same place, brothers and sisters.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Now there's a warning there, just like Brother Joe's mentioned to us. Lord, deliver us from prosperity.
Amen.
Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. You know, that land of Canaan had everything that they needed naturally, did it not? And when they left Egypt, they were on a journey. You know, the Lord didn't send them out of Egypt to camp in the wilderness. You know, the Lord, when He quickens you, He's got a journey if you as a child of God.
Amen.
And that day He said, well, you know, when that night comes, when the Lord passes over and brings death to the household, you be ready. You have your traveling clothes on.
Amen.
You have your sandals. You have your stick. You be ready to go. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, today, if you want to go on that land that's a part of that covenant that had better promises, a better ministry, a better covenant that we have, this covenant of grace with the promise of eternal life, where we can see, brothers and sisters, that our high priest, Jesus Christ, paid the price there on Calvary.
Amen.
And we can rejoice in that. But I tell you what, see, you know, this land that He has for us, this kingdom of heaven. You know, so many of God's people are in such confusion that, you know, they're waiting for the kingdom to come.
Right.
At the end of time.
That
I'm telling
right.
you. John the Baptist didn't say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is 3,000 years away.
Yes, thank you.
He didn't say, this is at hand.
Yes,
don't be worried about whether the Lord's in control. You know, now, He's promised to see blessings in these kingdoms are conditional on your obedience.
Right.
Now, God's merciful, and if He weren't merciful, we wouldn't receive the least little favor.
Right.
But I tell you, brothers and sisters, He said, this day I set before you blessings and cursings.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't read where God's different today than He was when these words were penned down. He hadn't changed, brothers and sisters. So. Oh, what a glorious thing, though, that now You know, we have an advocate. We have one who's that mediator of this better covenant. You know, and that old law, you know, those things, those commandments that they had, you know, he gives us now two commandments, doesn't he? To love the Lord thy God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. You know, it's interesting. If you look back there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses told the children of Israel the same thing.
That's right.
Verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Well, let's just back up a little bit. You know, see, they were getting ready to go in that land. There's some things Moses said, you need to know. You need to be reminded of. Don't you forget these things. You carry these with you each day of your life as you go into this land. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
Right.
You know, and he wasn't saying, well, the Lord's confused about him. We understand that there were three in one, but I tell you, he says, there is no other.
Amen.
When he said, the Lord our God is one Lord, I'm telling you, he says, there is no other. Don't be confused that there are others out there that have his power, that have any that you have to give any reverence to. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. You know, in this better covenant, he added something to that, didn't he? He said, there's a second locking into it. To love your neighbor as yourself. Now, you need to be kind to the person that lives next door.
Amen.
But I think the Lord is talking about something a little different right there. He's talking about somebody that's nearby, not physically, not geographically. He's talking about somebody that is a kinsman. You love your brothers and sisters, those that we see, as those with the Spirit of God in them, those that we have that kinship of Christ. That, and how do we do that? We do that by serving them. We do that by bearing one another's burdens. Over in Galatians in the 6th chapter, it says, bear you one another's burdens. And do what? So fulfill the law of Christ. What law is he talking about? To love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
That is the display, if you want to show that you love God with all your heart and all your soul and your mind. Is there a better way? Is there a better way than to love your brother, to serve it, to bear their burdens? That's the manifest station of that. You know, isn't it interesting that when the Bible in Matthew gives us that picture of that final judgment where the Lord gathers all nations and the goats on the left and sheep are on the right. And he talks about, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he talks to them about those attributes of sheep. What's he doing? Well, when I was naked, you clothed me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was in... He's talking about actions. The Lord, when we do these things to you, said, oh, but you've done it to the least of one of mine. You've done it unto me.
Right.
You want to fulfill that law. See, we have that blessing and that opportunity in this kingdom. We're going to... We have a better place. Oh, they desired to see these things that we see.
Yeah.
And I know, brothers and sisters, that there's a time coming that we'll know perfectly. We'll know as we are known.
Amen.
And that may mean some different things to different people, but at least I know one thing. We'll know perfectly then. Because
right.
We are known perfectly now.
Amen.
And part of me says, I believe and I hope I'll know each of you personally. But that day is yet to come. That eternal covenant, that covenant that he has established for us. To live a dwelling place while we live in time. You know, he has provided this refuge for God's people for us to come in.
Yes, sir.
Go to Joshua chapter 24, and we're just going to get this real quick. If you're Bible readers, you understand that this is after Moses' address, after Moses' death, after the children of Israel have crossed over the River Jordan into Canaan's land, after they have done battle, after God has led them to victory. Over in about the 13th chapter, I believe it lists the kings that they defeated. There were 31 kings that they defeated. They did what the Lord told them to do. He said, go possess the land. You know, first off, there's a little something for you and I in this kingdom today where the Lord teaches us to possess the land.
Yeah.
You know, Canaan's land is a pretty big place. And I've spent some time wandering out in the wilderness, and I may not get around to all the places I like to in Canaan's land. You know, there's a little Bethel spots like this church right here,
yes,
that the Lord allows us to come to and meet our brothers and sisters in Christ and to feed with them. See, in this kingdom where, you know, here he's also given us goodly cities that we didn't build. He's given us houses filled with things that we didn't build. You know, like those old apostles when they were fishing, and the Lord told them, you know, cast your net on the right side of the boat, and they had pretty good luck, didn't they? You know, you do what the Lord... Well, let me rephrase that. That wasn't luck. There was a good outcome there, okay? You know, when the Lord tells us to do something, if we do that, what should we expect? Exactly what the Lord promised.
Amen.
But when they carried it to shore, what did they find? Oh, he already had the fire, he already had the coals, already had the fish. What was his word to them? Come and dine.
Amen.
What a glorious thing that in this kingdom, back to Joshua. Probably very familiar with part of this. Chapter 24, we'll start at verse 13. And again, Joshua reminding, you know, we need to be reminded. We are forgetful folks. And our rememberers don't work that well. Mine gets worse as I get older. It didn't bother me when I forgot things 20 years ago. Now I just worry about it a lot. And it happens. It says, and I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you build not. You dwell in them, and of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted, not do you eat. It says, now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Now, these people are already in Canaan's land. Okay? They've gone in and they've possessed the land. And for God's people that come forward as disciples and take up their cross to follow the Lord, and they're baptized and they join an orderly church of believers, they've possessed the land to that degree. Mm-hmm. Time to sit down, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Time to...
Sir.
Work's done, right? No, that's not what he says.
That's right.
You know, Adam and Eve had everything they needed in that garden. What were they told to do? To dress it, and keep it. That's your instructions, brothers and sisters in here, to dress it, to keep it. To serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. He says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood. You know what it says. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. So that was the... Joshua had that challenge, that instruction to those people.
Yes, sir.
And what was their response? And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. That's the right response.
Yep.
He goes on down there a little bit more. And he reminds them, you know, a lot of times we're reading Paul's lessons. When he's making a doctrine point, it's like a good carpenter. You know, he hits a nail, get it seated, and he hits it again, and he hits it one more time.
Yeah.
Joshua says, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. That's too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. It says in Joshua, made a covenant with the people that day. And there were some things he put up as a witness. You know, there's a lot of things that we covenant to do with the Lord when we take up our cross and follow after Him. But that's a sermon for the people at the church I pastor, and not for y'all here today. And they may just get that tomorrow, God willing. Amen. It's our prayer.
Amen.
Once again, been blessed to hear His word.